Coming up on today's show, Porsche takes a step towards being all electric. VW's ID Neo is said to be affordable, however you interpret that word to be. And the upgraded Nissan ENV 200 is selling very well, thank you very much. Well, good morning, good afternoon and good evening, wherever you're listening around the world. Hello and welcome to the Tuesday, the 25th of September edition of EV News Daily. It's Martin Lee here with the news you need to know about electric cars and the move towards sustainable transport. Thank you to MyEV.com for helping make this show. If you haven't checked them out yet, then go and look at them. They are the first marketplace in the world, specifically built purely for buying, selling and learning about electric vehicles. It's North America only at the moment, but it's a totally free marketplace and it really simplifies the whole process. Well, this is show 246, so by the end of the week, we'll be on to show 250. Now, every 50 shows, I've liked to change things up, add new features, drop things that aren't working as well, even a new script to keep things fresh. If you have any comments, suggestions, feedback, I really want to hear from you. The email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Well, Porsche has made news already recently for dropping diesel from their lineup. It wasn't the massive sacrifice. It needs to be navigated pretty carefully, though. It was 12% of their 2017 global sales, so they haven't released a new one in 18 months, but still, as part of VW Group, if you're going to say the D word, be careful when you're talking about it. Well, now they're making positive noises about going all electric. Stephen Loveday at Inside EVs has been reporting on the move. I'll put a link to the full article for you to read on the show notes. Moving forward, says Stephen, however, the Manager magazine has been divulging that Porsche is only going to keep one fossil engine in the 911. Okay, the legendary 911, but still. From 2022 to 2025, Porsche is going to provide electric variants of the Boxster, the Cayenne, the Macan and the Panamera. And in the next 9 years, by 2027, if not sooner, all other Porsche vehicles will be electrified. And by this, it seems to imply electric, not hybrid. End quote on Stephen's article. Well, let's hope so. Look, every supercar maker, every fast Porsche is going to have to be electrified at some point, just simply for performance reasons. You have a Tesla Model 3 that out of the factory is doing 0 to 60 in 3.5 seconds and will go around the track all day long with the new battery cooling. People are modding it already, getting it down towards 3 seconds. Hang on, 3 seconds is supercar territory, and this is for a mid-sized sedan that costs an amount of money that is achievable for many kind of hard-working people who save up and buy a Tesla Model 3. So, of course, if you want your Porsche to be making headlines with stats and all those kind of things, you need to electrify. It's not even up for debate anymore. That debate has been closed off. But whether Porsche go pure electric is going to be something I'm sure they'll be keeping a very keen eye on, particularly with the kind of people who, until now, have been driving those massive performance cars, those supercars, and saying, oh, I'd never have an electric car, and then watching all of those smiles when they first try one and realise how quick they are. Look, they'll follow the money. And if people aren't buying Porsches because they're buying electric cars, they'll put batteries in them pretty pronto. Well, a company that I think a lot of people would like to be moving quicker, and I'm sure if you were in their shoes and having to sign the kind of massive checks that they're having to sign because simply they make so many cars, they'll be saying, look, we're going as quick as we can, and that is VW. Well, VW has now confirmed more details of the MEB platform recently to journalists and how it's going to be rolled out when the ID Hatch, which this Auto Express article say is codenamed Neo, but there is no confirmation on whether that badge is going to be used in production. And I'm pleased they made that distinction because a German newspaper recently just started calling it the VW Neo. And I was thinking, have they got some intel? Is it just not confirmed? Are they taking a punt on it maybe? So maybe it's the internal codename only. As a name, it's pretty good. I like Neo. Neo would be very cool. And it goes on sale before the end of 2019. According to a report last week by Auto Express, when the MEB platform was first unveiled to journalists, they were given a look at a cutaway and how it all works and all those kind of things. I'm just picking up on a few of the quotes which I'd missed from management. Auto Express understands the most modest ID Hatch is going to get a 48 kilowatt hour battery. And it's going to be available for the price of a pretty well-specced diesel Golf. That's around £27,500 here in the UK after the government grant, which is currently £4,500. But oh, there's still confusion over whether the UK government can tell their backside from their elbow. They haven't confirmed any long-term guarantees on the plug-in car grant. And those incentives, they just keep giving them stays of execution, if you like. It would be easier if they went, here's the five-year plan, we're sticking with it. But they keep going, hey, it's good to the end of, what month are we in, September? Yeah, it's good for September. Don't get me started. Anyway, this isn't a ranty podcast. Christian Senger is VW's head of product line of e-mobility. And he told Auto Express, we're going to have three different ranges of the ID hatchback to allow people with different budgets. The entry-level car is going to have a range of 330 Ks, that's 205 miles, according to the new European WLTP test cycle. So that's still optimistic, but I reckon probably within a 10 to 15%. I've never thought about the numbers. That was off the top of my head. Okay, let's go with it until I prove myself wrong. I'm going to get a calculator out tomorrow when I got more time. I reckon it's within 10 to 15% of real-world range. Maybe it's a little bit, maybe it's 20%. Also, it's going to have more limited performance, he says. If people want a faster car, then I don't want them coming back after 3 months telling me that it's fast, but the range is too short. So, if you want a fast car, you need a bigger battery. Simple. For the mid-spec, we have exceeded our target, he says, which was 400 Ks, 250 miles. It's more than that. It's going to be closer to 280. And we're still finalising what the range-topping battery capacity will be. The first details of the new MEB platform show that it's going to be a relatively long wheelbase. Even on the ID hatchback, it's a little bit longer than the current five-door Golf. The car's going to have a charging point. It's going to be at the rear, not at the front, as we saw recently with the Audi. And it's going to be on the driver's side in the UK. And of course, I must add, the proper side of the car. That would be the right-hand side, exactly where the steering wheel should be. And it's going to offer two forms of AC charging on board, 7.2 and 11 kilowatts, plus DC charging up to 125 kilowatts. That does seem to be anything around 100. The latest Hyundais and Kias are a bit lower, about 70, 72 kilowatts. I know VW aiming higher than that. And the maximum that can be achieved with their 400-volt electrical system, it limits them to 125 kilowatts. The ID is going to be VW's first permanently online vehicle, allowing the range of services, says Auto Express, to be offered to customers through the cloud. Over-the-air updates to be installed in a way that another car company have been doing for bloomin' ages. Only three of the car's ECUs are going to be totally unable to be connected to the internet wirelessly. That's really good news for security. They're going to be sandboxed so that you can't interfere with them remotely. Well, Nissan say that high demand, particularly from delivery and transport and private hire businesses all around Europe, has led to 7,000 of the brand new ENV200s, that's the one with the 40 kilowatt hour battery, since launch earlier this year in January, 7,000 of them to be ordered. That's a 128% increase year on year. According to recent orders, three taxi companies in the Netherlands have ordered about 50 of them, the new ENV200 Evalia. It's a seven-seat passenger variant to operate in the Rotterdam area. Under the new WLTP cycle, the range is 200 kilometres on the ENV200, a 40 kilowatt hour battery in that. I'm going to say active thermal management on that. Sorry for anybody who doesn't want to go down that road. Represents, by the way, the increased range of that, 60% increased range from a single charge over the previous generation. Well, the new ENV200 also stands out with its kind of bi-directional capabilities. It allows you not only to store electricity, but connect to your business, your home, sell excess electricity back to the local energy grid. Of course, has the CHAdeMO connection. Now, it's not really a big thing outside of Japan at the moment. We've covered this many times on the podcast, but V2G, vehicle to grid, and V2H, vehicle to home, is being piloted in Denmark, and it's now becoming a commercial reality. Innovate UK are about to launch a program of 2,000 charger units for residential application. How do I get one of those? I would love to be part of a V2G trial. Oh, I don't drive a Leaf or a ENV200. It'd be worth getting one just to be part of that trial. It really fascinates me. Right, moving on. And US rules are going to require EVs to be making sounds very soon to warn pedestrians of impending doom if they were to step out in front of them whilst looking at their mobile phone. Well, up until now, Chevy's come up with two different ideas to solve the problem. Initially, the Volt included a pedestrian alert horn button that the driver had to press to activate it. When the second gen Volt came out in 2015, it was kind of an always on thing, a one speaker system with a high pitched buzzing sound. Now, according to Autoblog in 2019, Chevy's got a better solution. Autoblog say that on the 2019 model Volt, it's going to have two small speakers. They're going to be waterproof in the front and rear of the car, linked up to the vehicle's gear selection and the speed as well. That means the amount of noise emitted by the new Volt will vary with speed. It's going to drive, if you drive faster, the sound gets louder, and the tone of the sound is kind of strange, like trance-like in nature. Also, it seems that it's attention-grabbing enough without being displeasing to your ears. Also, please stop reading your emails and walking into the road. We want to have EVs safe for people who are visually impaired and things like that, not because you are updating Twitter and you walk in front of a car. By the way, I was shopping today. I work in the very middle of London, so Regent Street, Oxford Street, and it's being talked about pedestrianising Oxford Street. I don't know, it's probably not going to happen, too much opposition, but it's mostly buses, right? And there was a big red double-decker London bus driving very slowly down Oxford Street at walking pace. So I was walking at pace with the bus because the traffic's pretty slow on that massive shopping road, if you don't know it, in London, full of all the big department stores. And it had its pedestrian warning buzzer stuck on. And so for like 3 or 4 minutes of me walking down the road, you know the noise that lorries and buses make when they're reversing to alert people that they're moving, that they're reversing, that kind of really loud, high-pitched beeping slash white noise? Yeah, it was doing this, but it was stuck on. And I was just thinking, please let this not be the future for EVs, because I can't handle like that road being full of EVs in 5 and 10 years' time with all of them making different kind of noises. It'll be hellish. Just put your headphones in. Right, finally, let's get on to Audi. And still talking about the Audi e-tron Quattro SUV that was released a week ago today. Onto the subject of whether you should really make your cars and get them into dealers. A lot of dealers are franchised and sell them the car, and then the dealers have got to shift them from their lot. So they're going to be running ads, they're going to be highlighting them and pushing people to buy them. Or do you charge a customer a deposit and only make the car once you got the cash in the bank? Well, Audi of America's Scott Keogh was featured on this podcast a week ago today as we were featuring some clips of him talking to the news media in the US. And he says, I got another quote from him actually, not know the audio of this, just the text, I'll read it out, and I quote, I think it would be a beautiful world if you can go to a dealer, and we'd like to find that beautiful world, with zero floor plan expense and proper full gross on the car. That would be a beautiful state. So let's go see if we can find this dream state. The same network that got us to double our sales and got us to 200,000 units annually is going to be the same network that's going to lead electric vehicle revolution for us. And that's a massive competitive advantage, an onboard and engaged network, end quote. So what he's talking about here is trying to defend Audi's decision not to put e-tron Quattros into dealerships. So if you want one, you are going to have to put your $1,000 deposit down, order the spec of e-tron Quattro that you want, and then it will be delivered. That's been working very nicely, thank you very much, for Tesla thus far. But it's interesting that as Audi do it that way, Tesla are getting more and more cars out into service centres. We don't call them dealerships because they're not. So, more cars to test drive, more cars for the public to see and get excited about, more cars at shows and those kind of things, and more cars being built without buyers in mind. Enormously frustrating for people that have been waiting a couple of years for their cars and they want a certain spec. Meanwhile, Tesla's built a different spec Model 3 because it's a common spec and then it sits in stock and then they match it up with people who want that. I know that's frustrating for those long-time waiters. However, Tesla are kind of starting to do it a little bit more the other way. Audi saying, we aren't going to have them in dealerships. And I think that is a bit... Look, easy for an idiot on a podcast to say this, isn't it? I think that's disappointing because Audi aren't cannibalizing electric car sales from any other maker. Audi, in my opinion, well, it's worth nothing, I think are making an electric car that people who go to buy an Audi SUV fossil will be attracted to. I don't think anybody that was thinking, you know what, oh, I'm going to buy a Tesla Model X. Oh, there's an Audi, I'll buy that one instead. I don't think it's going to happen that way. They're not going to nick too many. Steal some, but it's going to be low single digits. It's not going to be everyone who was going to buy a Tesla now buys an Audi, right? So I think Audi were making EVs for Audi buyers, and those people probably need to have them in showrooms. They need to go and see them, drive them, test them, because they're not into electric cars like you and I are. They were going to go buy an Audi. They're like, oh, there's an electric one. Okay, I'm open-minded. Let me give that a go. What's the range? That can work. Got a driveway. I can charge it. Brilliant. But you need them in the showrooms. And they're not going to, as far as I know, they're not going to have that stock out to dealers with the dealers pushing to sell them. It's going to be you go online and you order your car and then you wait and wait and wait and wait and wait a bit more. And does Audi have the same attraction that has caused people to wait a couple of years for their Tesla Model 3? I don't know the answer to that because only time will tell. Everyone's got an opinion online today, by the way. Some people saying, yeah, it's a great move. Other people going, no way. They just haven't got the kind of fan base for electric cars yet where people are going to wait for their car. I see both arguments. If you want to chip in on that, please do in the comments section of YouTube or send me an email. Talking of getting involved, thanks to myev.com, we've got a new question of the week this week, and I'm loving it. Had some brilliant responses so far. How do you charge at home? What charger have you got? Who installed it? Was it something that came with a new car, or did you have to arrange it yourself? And if you want to share, and you don't have to, how much did it cost? And did you get any incentives? So send me an email. The address is hello@evnewsdaily.com or the comment section on YouTube. Thank you very much to the 85 patrons of this podcast whose sheer generosity means that I get to make this show. It really does keep the lights on. And in their generosity means thousands of people every day get to learn about electric cars and maybe in a little way be entertained. There's 245 episodes of this podcast online, all for free, which you can feast your ears upon if you're a glutton for punishment. The blog is evnewsdaily.com, and on the socials, just search EV News Daily, and you'll find me online. Have a wonderful day. I'll catch you tomorrow.